I want to ask you this question. What Bible book has the most chapters in it? You don't have to answer out loud, but do you know? There's a second question. Do you know what chapter in the Bible has the most verses? And the third question is, do you know the Bible book that is the shortest chapter in the Bible? I know chapter divisions were made by men, and you understand that it's arbitrary that when the manuscripts were written in scrolls, you didn't have chapter divisions, and we are so blessed we can open it up and look at chapter 64 and look at verse 5 or something like that. What a blessing that is. But are you aware that God Himself divides one book of the Bible into chapters? And in some of them, He divides it into verses. The longest chapter in the Bible is one of the longest book in the Bible is one that God said, this is going to be the one that has the most chapter, and that is Psalms. You may already know that, but it is God who decided how each psalm would be and how long each psalm would be. And we need to have that understanding. The longest psalm is the one, and I guess you know it's Psalm 119. It has 176 verses in it. It is the psalm that has the most verses in it. It is the book that has the most chapters in it, the book of Psalms. Psalms 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible. Go back to slide number one. I want you tonight to know that you're going to hear the longest sermon I've ever preached. I probably ought to read the rest of that title, do you not? Somebody said, oh no, we're going to be here until midnight. I have never preached a sermon on Psalm 117. So at the end of this, it's not going to be something that will be memorable, but you will hear the longest sermon I have ever preached on Psalm 117. Let's take a look at the psalm. It's very easy. You might want to open your Bible because you and I need to look at that because we're going to try to analyze the truths that are found in this psalm and see if we cannot be better people when we leave here. You look at this, and it's very simple. You probably understand the meaning of every word that is in this psalm. Which means that even a child, you know, those who are maybe 7 or 8 years of age, would be able to look at this psalm and understand every word of this psalm. There are things that are difficult to understand in the Bible, but not this psalm. What do you notice about this psalm when you read it? Well, it is obviously a psalm of praise. You look at verse 1, and you've got the word praise there in verse 1. In the King James Bible, the word Laud, L-A-U-D, this is the New King James that is on the screen, is also the word praise. You look at verse 2, and you see that there's a word praise. In two verses, the Lord uses the word praise. That ought to help us understand what this was. Now, the Jews came together and they read the Psalms. We do that very same thing. We've read this psalm tonight. But are you aware that the Psalms were also in Judaism? were coupled with musical notes. And so the Psalms were things that they sang. That's in Judaism. But you are aware that Ephesians, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says that we're to praise Him using psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so this very psalm could have been sung anciently by God or by God's people for the last 3,000 years. This psalm is in our book. In fact, as part of this sermon, we're going to sing song number 488, but you don't necessarily need to look at it if you know the song, Oh Praise the Lord. Praise Him, all you people. You need to understand that. You need to understand that when it comes to this, but let's get back and analyze the psalm more before we think about it. The word Lord is a different word. And it involves praise, and it involves the matter of energy that is devoted. The matter of loudness is here. And so the translators reading these two Hebrew words, the word praise that this psalm begins with, and the word Lord, translated praise in the Old King James Bible, the word Lord means with great force and great energy, praise the Lord. This is not the kind of song that you can sort of relax and be laid back, you know, on. It is one that by God Himself, there is this statement. I want you to look at the screen or look on your Bible. Do you see how the word Lord is printed in your Bible? You see anything unusual? The first time you see in Psalm 117, praise the Lord. You see anything unusual about that word Lord? Do you notice, and I hope that you do, that it is all capital letters? That is significant. And whenever you read in the Old Testament and you see the word Lord in all capital letters, it is to enable us, even though we may not know Hebrew, to understand this special word Lord. The word Lord that is found in all capital letters in this passage is tied directly to the name that Jehovah God revealed through Moses at Mount Sinai. God told Moses, go back and lead my people out of that land. And Moses says, what is your name? And the form of that answer is reflected in the form of this word Lord. And it is translated, I am that I am. It is the I am. God, the people are going to ask me, who are you? What is your name? What is your nature? And He said, I am the I am. That's who He is. Now, as you begin looking at that, you need to understand that this word in the Hebrew language as it was being translated and delivered to the people, no vowels were ever put by the scribes with the consonants that are here. They did that so it would be a word that you could not pronounce. If I ask you to pronounce J-H-V-H, how would you pronounce it? You couldn't. Now, The Hebrews often did this, and they would put marks there that would indicate what vowels with it. But when they came to this sacred name of God, they would not put any vowels with it. You may have heard the term Yahweh in relationship to describe God. YHWH. Thank you. I read your mind. Thank you very much. Okay. No vowels with that. You couldn't pronounce it. If we go back to JHVH, you put vowels with that, you have the word Jehovah. Moses says, "Who are you?" And God says, in another form, this very answer, Jehovah. My name is Jehovah. Now, in other times in the Bible, there's the word Lord that is used, and often that word is not the word Jehovah, Yahweh. It is the word Adonai. And the Jews, whenever they read this publicly and read the scriptures, they would never pronounce the name Yahweh. They would substitute another word for Lord. And so you look at this and you see it does not say, praise the Lord. Put that second sentence that's up there. It does say, praise the Lord, but it does not praise the Lord our Lord. You see the difference in that word Lord? The L is capital because sometimes that is used as to reference to God. Sometimes it appears without the capital. That's the word Adonai. There are other names for God, other ways by which name, by which God is called. And this word, Lord, could sometimes be applied to a man, but not the word Jehovah. And so as you read this and you look at Psalms 130, verse 3 and verse 6, you'll see that the word Lord is there applied to God, but it's not the word Jehovah, and it's not in all caps. And so the reality is, Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Are you aware that in Psalms 23, it is in all caps? We've memorized it the other way, and we do exactly what the Jews did. When they saw the word Lord, they substituted the word Adonai, and so they would say the word Adonai, but they would never say Yahweh. They would never say Jehovah. And so those individuals who translated the Bible in the King James Bible followed the Jewish practice. And so Psalms 23 literally says, Jehovah is my shepherd. The translators followed the practice of the Jews when they publicly read the scriptures, and that's why Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. Look again at verse 1. Praise the Lord. It's a psalm of praise, but whom should be praised? Well, whom that should be praised is the Lord. Who should do the praising? Look at that next slide. New King James Version. Praise the Lord, all of you Gentiles. That is remarkable. But it is the more accurate translation of the Hebrew language for this word that is translated, and even in the King James and in our quotation and memorization of Psalms 117, verse 1, in our translation, we translate it nations. I think it is interesting that Jehovah God in the Old Testament says, Gentiles, you need to praise me. This is not a Jewish psalm. It is a Jewish psalm that includes the Gentiles because the psalm says, "Praise Him, all you Gentiles." Sometimes we've overlooked the fact that God intended for the Gentiles to in some way recognize and become associated with God through that Old Testament. In fact, in 1 Kings chapter 6 and 2 Chronicles chapter 6, the description is that a Gentile in a foreign land would hear of God, and Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, said, and that Gentile from a foreign land will come and pray to God in this temple. Isn't that what Jesus says when he cleansed the temple? You've made this place of merchandise, but it was intended to be a place of prayer for all nations. God intended for some way for those Gentiles that were learned about God that they could come and pray in that temple. I know the Jews of the first century had created a court of the Gentiles and no Gentile could enter into the temple, but that's not the way Solomon's temple was. That's a first century design of that temple. The old temple did not have the court of the Gentiles, for it was a place of prayer for all nations. It's praise Him, all you people. That's the way we sing it. But if you look more carefully, praise Him, all ye peoples. You would think, praise the Lord, ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people, singular, Jews. But even by putting the S on that word people, there is an inclusion for Gentiles to praise God. Now, guys, if it was God's will in the Old Testament that Gentiles praise the Lord, what about us who are Gentiles in the New Testament? I want us to sing together this first verse. We're not going to sing that part of this Psalm 488 that says, "For His merciful kindness endures for us forever." Someone has taken this psalm and has developed it to be sung by four-part harmony, not in the very nature that the Jews might have done it with chants and things of that nature, but more in fitting with our society where you've got sopranos and tenors and bass and altos. And there's just something about singing this psalm. Now then, I want you to laud the Lord. Sing with vigor and sing with loudness. David, lead us in this, but stop before it to ever get to that part, "For His merciful kindness endures forever." All of us join in and praise Him with vigor. Why praise Him? That's what verse 2 gives. Verse 2, here's the why that we should praise Him: because of His kindness. God is not a vicious, vile, mean God. Some people look at the God of the Old Testament and see the God of the Old Testament being harsh and cruel, and Jesus being a whole lot more mild. The God of the Old Testament is filled with kindness. And so the psalmist says, praise Him because He's kind. Are you not attracted to kind people? What about the kindness of God? What's the nature of that kindness? It's merciful kindness. Merciful. God's mercy is full of kindness. His kindness is full of mercy. And then the other reason is, it is mercy for us. His mercy is great, and it's for us. For His merciful kindness endures forever. Why do we praise Him? Why do we laud to the Lord? Because of His nature. Merciful. Full of kindness and full of mercy. Full of mercy, full of kindness. It's great, immeasurable, and it includes us. Who's the us? All ye Gentiles, all ye people, and all ye peoples. And then tied to that is the rest of this, and it's almost like Hebrew parallelism when it says, and the truth of the Lord. Why praise Him? Because He's the God of truth. And the truth of the Lord endures. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. What's this psalm? How does it end? Praise the Lord. Let's sing it one more time. Let's sing this song together one more time. And with your heart, led by the study of Psalm 117, let your heart laud the Lord and praise Him, you nations, all the people, because His merciful kindness is great toward all, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. David, come and lead this song for us. That's how you study the Bible. You read it. What does it say? And if you'll read it slow enough, you will be amazed at the depths of truths that even somebody that is 7 or 8 years of age can read and understand. Thomas, I want to thank you for the way you've listened. Roderick, I want to thank you for the way you've listened tonight. 7, 8, 9 years of age, you can read the Bible, you can understand every word that's in it. And let us, with a heart of simplicity and humility, let us read the Bible with the same kind of a heart a child does. We're not going to sing this song of invitation to encourage you, if you're not a child of God, to become a follower of Him today. If you're not serving Him, if you haven't obeyed Him, something's missing in your life. And you need to understand His will is that you praise Him and serve Him forever and ever. Eternity is yours. But until you obey the gospel, that gospel revealed in the first century, you don't have much hope for eternity. What is that gospel? It's the good news. It's the story about Jesus being raised from the dead. You believe that? Then he who was raised from the dead says, except you repent, you'll perish. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. And Jesus says, before you can be united with me in baptism, you must confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. For if with your mouth you'll confess the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. The word if says it's an absolute must. And this very night you could confess him. And this very night you could do what every person in the first century did as they became Christians. And that is to be immersed in water, that you might be born of water in the Spirit. Then you become a part of his family. And then you can sing this song, and it'll have a different meaning for you. For the rest of us, that is, you keep being faithful. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. If we can help you become a Christian tonight, or if you can help you return to the Lord, won't you indicate that by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing.